Turn your Bibles with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. We're going to read verse 1 and then we're going to skip all the way down to verse 16. Verse 1 says, "Who is like a wise man? And who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the sternness of his face is changed." Now look at verse 16. It says, "When I plied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, even though one sees no sleep day or night, then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it." Now, in this passage of Scripture, we see Solomon apply wisdom in a world that is impossible to fully comprehend. In verse 1, we are told that wisdom is good because it can change our countenance in a positive way. It can change our countenance. When you use wisdom wisely, you get the perspective you need to live on the earth with joy. And joy in your heart will show on your face. Joy in your heart will show on your face. So when you've got a wise perspective of life, when you use wisdom wisely, you're going to look at this world, and even though you see some things that aren't right about it, you're going to be able to have joy in your heart, and that joy will show on your face. Now, in verses 16 and 17, these verses tell us how Solomon got that right perspective in life. He came to the conclusion that even though wisdom is good, it has its limitations. Understand that. Even though wisdom is good, it has its limitations. Wisdom will help you live in this world, but it will not give you all the answers to why God has ordered this world the way it works, or even why God has ordered certain circumstances in your own life. You know, there may be some things that you don't understand about your life. Why did this happen to you? Why do you have bad eyesight? Why are you only 5'8 instead of 6 foot? All kinds of stuff. You can ask, but you may not fully comprehend, even in your own life. Well, with the right perspective in mind, we can apply wisdom in a way that will help us have joy in a world that can make it very difficult to be joyful. You know, we do live in a world that, as we look at it, you know, you can look at the news and you're going to get depressed. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to get upset. How do you wrap your mind around those things and still have joy in your heart? That's what we see talked about here in verse 8, in chapter 8. So let's take a look at this passage and see how we can have joy by using wisdom wisely. Let's look at verse 2. It says, "I say, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. Do not be hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand for an evil thing. For he does whatever he pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say to him, 'What are you doing?' He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment." First of all, using wisdom wisely will bring joy when dealing with those in authority. Using wisdom wisely will bring joy when dealing with those in authority. In the world today, it is becoming increasingly more difficult to relate to those in authority as a Christian. We see our leadership today, and we see that they don't have the same values that we do. They don't have a Christian perspective on this world. They may be in office purely for selfish reasons. And they may even be hostile to Christian thought. We see this a lot in our leaders today, don't we? In those in authority. These facts can be discouraging. They really can. When dealing with those in authority, but it doesn't have to rob us of our joy if we take the advice of Solomon here. That's the thing. Yes, we have leaders that we're not happy with because their thoughts may not be the thoughts that we have. Their values may not be our values. But we can still have joy despite that if we'll follow some of the advice, follow the advice that Solomon gives us. First of all, he says, remember that you are obeying God when you submit to authority. Verse 2 says, keep the king's commandments for the sake of your oath to God. So when we submit to authority, what we're really doing is obeying God. Now understand, there is some providence of God in those who are over us and those who are in leadership. God, by his providence, has put them in place, whether we like them or not. That is the fact of the matter. Now, what we need to understand is when we submit to their leadership or their authority, we are actually obeying God. And so, in order to keep joy in my heart, as I'm submitting to these authority structures, I've got to remember my oath to God, that I am obeying him when I obey these authorities, okay? Even though I may not like their positions on things, when I obey, I'm doing what God wants me to. So it doesn't rob me of my joy because I feel as though I'm doing what God wants me to. And then look at verse 3. It says, do not be hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand for an evil thing, for he does whatever pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? Now, choose your battles wisely. Choose your battles wisely. We need to respectfully try to influence our authority with the realistic thought that we may not get our way. Now, understand that. There are ways that we can influence our society and influence our leaders. But it must be done with wisdom, with tact. You don't just storm into the leader's office and say, what do you think you're doing? This is stupid. You know, you don't do stuff like that. You'd like to. Yes, you would. You'd like to. Absolutely. I dream of that. Yes, absolutely. But you can't do that. It'd be counterproductive. Remember, the king has power, right? There is power in his authority. So we must be wise in how we influence our society, must be wise in how we influence our leaders. We see some ridiculous things being done by, quote, Christians around our country today. They're making absolute fools of themselves. They're not doing things wisely, and they're actually hurting the cause of Christianity rather than helping it. We want to avoid doing that by using wisdom in our approach. Understand, you may not be able to change things. You know, I see people and they listen to, you know, these radio shows that get them all worked up about all the things that are wrong about our country and our society and everything like that. And they get all worked up about it. But let me ask you a question. Is it worth getting all worked up about if you can't do anything about it? Is it? No, it's not. So let's have a realistic approach to our culture, to our society. Let's understand that some things we're not going to be able to change. Some things God is allowing to happen because he's got a greater plan in mind, right? That's what we need to keep in mind. So, hey, you know what? Let's not let these things rob us of our joy and get all idealistic about how our society should be. Hey, you know what? I'd love it if we all went by the Bible and we had all the freedom that we wanted because we didn't have to make any ridiculous laws and stuff like that that constricted our freedom. I'd love all that. But guess what? That's an idealistic perspective that isn't going to happen as long as sin is in the world. And we need to be in touch with that reality. We can influence our world in a positive way. I don't want you to forget that. But we must be realistic and understand that we won't be able to change everything. A wise man takes life in stride and has realistic expectations. Now, that's not my quote. I don't know who the quote was from, but it is a quote from somebody else. But it is an excellent thought. A wise man takes life in stride and has realistic expectations. However, there are times when we must resist authority. Now, understand that there's times in the Bible where we see a resistance to authority. Thomas Jefferson wrote, "Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God." Was he right? Biblically, we seem to see some examples. Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego defied the order of the king of Babylon to bow to his image when the music was played. They went to the fiery furnace, and God preserved them. In Daniel chapter 6, we see Daniel openly defy the order not to pray. He went to the lion's den, and again, God saved him. The apostles stood before the Sanhedrin and had previously been ordered not to speak again about Jesus and his death and resurrection. We find their reply on this occasion in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, when Peter said, and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than man." So there are times when we need to resist authority, and I don't want us to underestimate that. When we have to disobey God in order to submit to authority, then we must resist the authority. A wise man will know when those times come and will find joy because he knows he is doing the will of God. And that's where the joy comes from, right? Whether we have to submit to an authority figure that we don't like, or we have to resist them because they want us to do something that's against what God wants us to do, we can still have joy because we're doing what God wants us to do. Amen? And that's where our joy comes from. That's what we need to understand. A wise man will know when those times come. And that's what we're told here in this passage of Scripture. People who retreat in cynicism and sarcasm whine about things. You ever know somebody like that? Oh, everything's horrible. They just whine about things. But they do little to change them. People who are idealistic often become crusaders who eventually burn out in utter disappointment. But people who are realistic and participate in society become influencers for good because they know the limits of what can be and they are more prone to take things in stride. I think that's a good thought for us to remember. When we use wisdom wisely, we will deal with those in authority with realistic expectations and avoid the prospect of them robbing us of our joy. Jesus summarized this thought in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. He said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Jesus knew that we'd be in a position where there'd be authority figures, there'd be people in power and prominence that would want to harm us, that would be against us. But he said, if we're wise, we will do his will. Now, look at verse 6. It says, because for every matter there is a time and a judgment, though the misery of a man increases greatly, for he does not know what will happen, so who can tell him when it will occur? Now, using wisdom wisely will bring joy when you see things that are out of your control. You know, wisdom helps us come to terms with the fact that present and future events are out of our control. Do you realize that? These things are out of our control. We can't control the spirit. Or another word for this, this doesn't refer to the Holy Spirit, this is wind. So we can't control the wind. You know, we're in hurricane season. We can't control if a hurricane's coming up and going to wipe us out, can we? We can't control whether there's a tornado that comes by. We cannot control that. We can't control death. We're told here we can't control death. We will die. You realize that? Someday we will die. Unless Jesus comes back before we die, we all will face death. A young family attended church on Sunday morning. They came home after lunch. Their son was upstairs playing. He yells, Mom! Mom! The mother goes to the stairs and says, what is it? Come down here and talk to me. The young boy comes downstairs with a puzzled look on his face. He says, Mom, is it true what the preacher said this morning? Do our bodies really come from the dust, and when they die, our bodies go back to the dust? Mom replied, of course, dear. Why? The little boy said, then you'd better get upstairs and look under the bed, because there's someone coming or going. We're all going to die someday. Can't control it. We can't control battles. You know, there's wars all around us. You know, we try and fight tyrants. We can't control tyrants. This is what the Bible tells us right here in this passage. Tyrants and evil people will rise up. You know, it's funny. We're fighting this war on terror. And we knock off one tyrant, and then another one comes up. We knock out one group of terrorists, another group comes up. We can't control that. Hey, we are the most powerful country in the world, and we can't control that. There's just some things that are out of our control. And we need to see that, hey, we have limits to what we can control. And wisdom, although we may think we have wisdom, can't control everything. A young girl came into the kitchen one afternoon and complained that her stomach hurt. Her mother told her, that's because your stomach is empty. You just need something in it and you'll be fine. The mom fixed the little girl a sandwich and she felt much better. About a week later, the mother and the little girl were at the grocery store. They ran across one of the elderly members of their church. After some small talk, the elderly member mentioned that she had a headache and was headed home. Yep. Before the mother could say anything, the little girl said, Mommy says your head hurts because it's empty. You just need to put something in it and you'll be fine. You know, she tried to apply the wisdom that she had, and it just wasn't working out. Right? Now, when we realize we can't fix everything because we don't have the ability, it will help us keep our joy. Remember that. You can't fix everything. You can't. You don't have the wisdom or the ability to do it. We must just trust the Lord, and we must not let it rob us of our joy. And then in verse 10, it says, then I saw the wicked buried and had come and gone from the place of holiness. And they were forgotten in the city where they had done so. This also is vanity. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And then it goes on. But I want you to understand this. Using wisdom wisely will bring joy as you consider the unfairness of life. Solomon is expressing his displeasure with the seemingly unfairness of life. You know, life isn't fair. How come one person who, you know, isn't really doing that much to help themselves seems to fall into so many great things? And then others that are trying so hard to do well, they get pounded down and pounded down and pounded down. Why is it like that? Well, that's because life isn't fair. And I don't think we should expect life to be fair. I think we'd avoid a lot of bitterness and sadness in our lives if we'd realize that life isn't fair. It isn't fair. We don't live in a world of fairness and justice. In verse 11, Solomon points out the fact that sometimes justice is not carried out swiftly, and the wicked get away with a lot of things. Do you realize that? A lot of things, a lot of bad things happen that no justice is ever done in this world. In verse 12, he points out that wicked people sometimes live long lives. And we discussed this last week. In verse 14, he points out that good people are negatively affected by bad people. They really are. We suffer consequences of evil people. Good people do. These are realities of life. And all the wisdom and efforts of this world can't overcome some injustices. Even though we try and make up for the injustices, we may be doing something that's actually going to hurt us. One day, a new bus driver was driving along his route. He didn't encounter any problems for the first few stops. A few people got on, a few people got off, and things went generally well. At one stop, however, a big hulk of a man got on. He was 6'8", built like a bodybuilder, and his arms hung down past his knees. He glared at the driver and told him, "Big John doesn't pay." Then he sat down at the back of the bus. The driver was 5'3", thin and very meek, so he didn't argue with Big John. But he wasn't happy about it. The next day, the same thing happened. Big John got on again, made a big show of refusing to pay, and sat down. It happened the next day, and again the day after that. The bus driver began to lose sleep over the way Big John was taking advantage of him. Finally, he could not stand it no longer. He signed up for bodybuilding courses, karate, judo, and a class on finding your self-esteem. By the end of the summer, the bus driver had become quite strong and felt really good about himself. The next Monday, Big John entered the bus and again declared, "Big John doesn't pay." Enraged, the driver stood up, glared back at Big John, and bellowed, "And why not?" With a surprised look on his face, Big John replied, "Big John have bus pass." You know, sometimes we get all worked up about something. We get worked up about the injustices of this world. We start trying to do something about it and come to find out, well, there's nothing really there to it anyway. You know, because we don't have all the wisdom that God has. We need to trust the Lord in some things. We really do. These are the realities of life. And all the wisdom and efforts in this world can't overcome these injustices. Life is not fair, but it doesn't have to rob you of your joy. Understand that. Life is not fair, but it doesn't have to rob you of your joy. You know, sometimes I try and teach my kids this by we're doling out the cookies. And I'll go, "Okay, you get two, you get two, you get two, you get one." And just see what happens. You know, two, 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 one. And of course, they're like, "Why do I only get one?" I said, "Well, life's not fair. You need to get in touch with that." You know, and kind of teach a lesson while I'm doing it. And then I give them another cookie. But, we need to understand that. Hey, sometimes we won't get as many cookies as the other guy. So using wisdom wisely will give us joy in spite of the reality that this world is corrupt and unfair. However, this can only be as we recognize that God is just and has a plan to right all the injustices of life. Solomon alludes to this in verses 12 and 13. It says, though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will it prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear before God. Now understand something. God has a plan to right all the wrongs. He has a plan to execute justice at a certain time and in a certain place. And we're told in the New Testament by Jesus when that will come. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. In verse 28, Jesus said this. He said, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Now, these are sobering words, but it should be an encouragement to all those who have trusted in Jesus as their Savior. Hey, in this world, we have to deal with injustices. We have to deal with wicked rulers. We have to deal with things that are totally out of our control. But we can have joy because we know that all of this is going to be made right by Jesus Christ. Someday, he's coming back again. And when he does, he is going to resurrect every person. And when he does, we will all stand before him, and some will be resurrected to eternal life, and that will be everyone who has trusted Jesus as their Savior, who has trusted in his death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of their sins and for their eternal life. So when we stand before him that day, he'll say, hey, Bill, you did this wrong, you did this wrong, but guess what? You trusted in me. I'm wiping all that bad stuff that you did completely away, and now I'm going to give you a reward in heaven, and all these things that you did, that you were faithful in, enter ye into the kingdom of God. That's going to be an awesome time. But if you don't trust Jesus as your Savior, if you try and live and deal with evil in your own way, and you want to do things your way, and you don't feel like you need to accept Christ as your Savior and have your sins forgiven, then you're going to face a different kind of judgment. You're going to be judged based on your works, and you will receive condemnation for the things that you have done wrong. And it will not end well for you. As a matter of fact, you will go someplace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You don't want to go there. You don't. Will you please accept Jesus as your Savior if you haven't? Please trust in his death, burial, and resurrection for your sins to be forgiven and your eternal life. This is the perspective. This is what will really give you the joy you need despite the injustices of life. Jesus will come back someday and judge all that has been done. We need to trust in him and trust that justice will be done by God.